إذا نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ثم أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah Azza wa Jal. We seek His help, we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and the evil of our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none who can misguide him. And whomsoever is misguided, none can guide him except Allah Azza wa Jalla. I testify, openly testify, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah Azza wa Jalla, alone, without any associates or partners whatsoever. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger of Allah and the slave of Allah. Indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every newly added matter to this religion is an innovation, and every innovation leads astray, and every going astray leads to the hellfire wa iyadu billah. This is the method by which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to start his khutbah. And there are other variations as well, as many of the khatibs use, but these are the wordings by which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to begin his khutbah. And there's a reason for me mentioning this point that I'll come back to it a little bit later in the khutbah. Now, I'd like to start by having us imagine that we are in the DMV, in the line to either apply for a new driver's license or either renew our driver's license. And assuming you have not made an appointment for the DMV, you get in line. First you wait in line until you get a number, because you know from the DMV there's a different sort of numbering system. Something for a set of numbers, which is for identification, something for title and registration, and a different line for the driver's license. You get your number, and then you proceed to a desk which has forms, where you can fill out a form ahead of time, so when you get to the window, all you have to do is submit your form, pay the fee, and you're done. Now, Form A says California Identification Card, and Form B says California Driver's License. And for some reason, there was a big rush or whatever, and you accidentally grabbed Form A, for the Identification Card. You sit down in one of those seats and try to fill out that form, and you say, hey, this is a really easy form, very basic information. You fill it out, Form A, you're ready to go. And now you have an hour or so wait until they call your number and say something like G34, like window number 12. And then, you know, when they call it, you get up and you go pay and give the form and so on. You go when your number is called, and once you get to the desk or the window, the lady behind the window says, I'm sorry, sir, this you're here for a driver's license? You filled out the wrong form. Please go back and fill out Form B, which is for driver's license. Form A is for identification purposes only. And imagine at that time how frustrated you will be, because waiting in the DMV is not fun. Yeah. Most of us know that, right? So you spend all that time, you fill out the wrong form, and you're waiting for all that time only to find out you filled out the wrong form. Now let's bring it to why this example is given. So we have this lifetime, this one lifetime for us to live until we die and until the day of Qiyamah. And we can either do things the right way or we can do it the wrong way. And
sometimes we think we're doing the right thing. As the DMV example, you think you're doing, you're filling out the right form, until you call up on the window, or until we die, or until the day of Qiyamah comes upon us, only to find out, wait a minute, we filled out the wrong form, or we've been doing things wrong. The time is now, it's not too late to realize the right from wrong. أم المؤمنين أم عبد الله عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد رواه البخاري ومسلم وفي رواية المسلم من عمل عملا ليس من أمرنا فهو رد. So the mother of the believers, Aisha رضي الله عنها, أم عبد الله, she said that the Prophet ﷺ said, he who innovates something in this manner of ours referring to Islam will have it rejected. This version narrated from Bukhari and Muslim. And the version from Sahih Muslim, he said, he who does an act which we have not commanded will have it rejected. At some point here, somebody would say, enough said. But sadly, we need further explanation. Because when the Prophet ﷺ tells us that we do something that we weren't commanded to do, it will be rejected. Some of us are so persistent and going on and saying, no, but you know what? I want to do this. It seems good. It seems right. I want to do it. It looks good. What could be so bad about it? But when the Prophet ﷺ said, if we're doing something which doesn't agree with this matter of ours, referring to Islam, or as the other version of the hadith says, which you were not commanded to do, it will be rejected. So what are we trying to do? It's not a child's game that, you know, I'm going to do it, and then the day of judgment I'll tell Allah, you know what, it seemed good, so I did it. That's not how this life works. You know, I gave an example of DMV because most of us can relate to it. And in that kind of example, that's the dunya. We'll spend maybe another 30 minutes or something, go back, get another number, or maybe 10-15 minutes, go back, get all the right form, and it'll be taken care of. But when it comes to our life and this deen, no, we only have this one chance, this one lifetime. As Allah talks about the Bani Israel, that time, the Day of Judgment, they'll say, wait, give us a chance, let us go back. And this time we'll be good, this time we'll be believers, this time we'll do things that are right. But it'll be too late by that time. It's too late for us, you know, when our death comes upon us. That's it. Except, you know, as we know, the deeds that continue. So, the time is now to realize what is right and what is wrong. And what is that which was commanded to us by Allah and His Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that which He did not command us to do. So we're referring to what is known as innovation. And Imam al-Shatibi, rahimahullah, he mentions that innovation linguistically is any newly invented matter. And so yes, as many of you will start thinking, so this watch is an innovation, this Kindle is an innovation, that closet there is an innovation, our cars, yes, all of that linguistically or literally is an innovation. But Sharia, that's what we're talking about. We're Muslims, this is khutbah, right? So we're talking about what does Islam mean when Islam talks about an innovation. And according to Sharia, Imam al-Shatibi rahimahullah, he mentions that an innovation is something through which nearness or closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sought, but not being supported by any authentic proofs, neither in its foundation or neither in the manner in which it is performed. That, Islamically or according to the Sharia, is what we're referring to when it comes to an innovation. Not my clock, not our keys, not our cars, you know, not this technology, so no. That's a literal meaning. And Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he warned Muslims of innovations more severely than sin. Because sin, haram, is something that you and I can see in the Quran. Okay, here Allah says, you know, interest is haram. Here Allah says, alcohol is haram, so on. Or even from the words of the Prophet ﷺ. Here, Prophet ﷺ said, for men, don't wear silk. For men, don't wear gold, etc. But an innovation is something where you don't find a clear text You know, you have to do some homework behind it to realize that, wait a minute, Islam never taught us to do that. So why are we doing it? So we have a little homework to do when it comes to innovations. As a reason for a reminder of innovations is two things going on right now. We're in the month of February, but what relates to us more is we're in the month of Rabi al-Awwal, the Islamic calendar, the Hijri calendar. And so at this time, in many masajid, in many Islamic centers, we have seerah events. We have events, you know, we talk a lot about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different matters. In some places, it's just seerah, talking about his biography. In certain places, they're singing nasheed and naat, etc. And, you know, we need to again look back at what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Is there an authentic proof behind it? Is this something that the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to do? Is this something that his Sahaba, those that attained the knowledge of Islam directly from the Prophet ﷺ, is this something that they learned from him and started practicing it? Or is this something, as history shows, that was started from the Fatimi era 3 centuries later, and the next one to promote it was King King Abu Zafar Abu Sa'id al-Kaburi in or around 6th century or at the beginning of 7th century. So all this time passed, and neither the Prophet celebrated this day, neither the Sahaba celebrated this day, neither do we find any authentic proof of the Prophet commanding us to celebrate this day. So for a lot of places, they might have already done an event. But for some places, they look at either the 9th of Rabi al-Awwal or the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. And there are some narrations that say that is the date on which the Prophet ﷺ was born. But there's also many narrations that say he was not even born in this month. There are some more narrations that say he passed away, he died on that date. And so some of the scholars warn that it was actually a way that some of the disbelievers wanted Muslims to start celebrating a day, you know, in disguise, where, oh yeah, we're celebrating our Prophet, you know, he's the last Prophet, our beloved Prophet. But in reality, their goal was to have Muslims celebrate, na'udhu billah, his death. So, as Muslims, you know, do we blindly go and start doing anything and everything that's going on? Or do we try to research into it, like, is it something that was ordained by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us, He said, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّوكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِن هُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 116, the meaning of the verse. And if you obey most of those upon the earth, they will mislead you from the way of Allah. They follow nothing but assumptions, and they do nothing but lie. And there's many other verses, you know, we could talk about, we could take this khutbah an hour long, but we all have to get back to work and back to our life, right? So, there's other verses that warn us not to just simply blindly follow our forefathers. Even born and raised Muslims, Islam warns us, don't just blindly follow what your forefathers are doing or what your culture does, etc. Islam is not about that. Islam is backed up by proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Everything we do, from Jum'ah, from prayer, from fasting, from Hajj, all sorts of different aspects of worship in Islam have an authentic proof behind it. And if it does not, as the Prophet ﷺ warns us, it will be rejected. And the reason the Prophet ﷺ, now, we're getting back to the point why I mentioned how the Prophet ﷺ used to begin his khutbah in a certain way, it's not just a mere ritual. You know, it's not just words we read, you know, from a writing. But it was a warning. It was a constant reminder. Don't do that which is not part of Islam. It will be rejected. Stick to what we were commanded to do. It was a reminder. It's for the purpose of reminder. It's not that, okay, somebody learned how to say this in Arabic and alhamdulillah, you can do a khutbah. No. The purpose is a reminder. The khutbahs are for a reminder. They're not just for us to come and take it as a ritual. Where we came to Jum'ah, we did our ritual, we came, we listened when we went back to our home or school or our lives, nothing happened to us. It didn't shake us, it didn't serve any sort of reminder. And yeah, alhamdulillah, we did our ritual. And as they say, you know, you go back to work with your Muslim co-worker, you ask, brother, what was the khutbah about? I don't know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so. No, what was it about? What was the subject? I don't recall, but we can go to Taqwa's website and we can hear it again. No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is we need to be reminded. We get so busy with our lives and we need reminders. We're human beings, we tend to forget. So, this day was not celebrated by the Prophet ﷺ. He did not command us to do so. We have authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where we find that he used to fast Mondays and Thursdays, and one of the reasons he gave for doing so was one, a form of shukr, of gratitude. So, you know, for gratitude we can fast. And I know many of you are thinking, oh, it's okay, I'll stay, right? Or, he said that he's thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he was born that day, so he's fasting. That's what he did. If we want to look at an authentic, he didn't say, okay, so this day we're going to celebrate, we're going to have such and such desserts and such type of food, and we'll sit down, and I want you guys to start singing praises of me and so on. No. On the Day of Judgment, Allah won't ask us how beautifully we sang about the praises about the Prophet Muhammad. But what we will be questioned about is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَعْتَاكُمُ رَسُولَ فَقُدُوا وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. That whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you, take it. And whatever he forbids you from, abstain from it. That's what we will be questioned about. Not that, well, Ya Allah, we won't be standing in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment saying, well, Ya Allah, you know, every year, once a year, I went to this event and I heard the praises of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was such a nice poem, or it was such a nice issue. No, that's not what we will be asked about or worried about. What we will be asked about is, well, he told you to pray. He taught you how to pray. Did you pray? He taught you how to fast. Did you fast? He taught us the manners of Hajj. Did we try to do Hajj? And many of the aspects of Islam. Did we try to do that which he ordered us to do, or did we waste our life and our energy, time, effort, and energy in things that were not taught by Islam? And the balance here is that the Prophet, we have to have love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's one of the things that's claimed by people. So just please move forward, so the brothers that are coming after us can have room. We have to have love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's not get it wrong. There's a balance in Islam. We can't go to either extreme. We can't reject the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because without accepting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final Messenger. And, as our guide, as our role model, we can't be Muslims. If we don't say, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, we haven't accepted Islam yet. And if we don't love the Messenger of Allah, then we haven't attained Iman. And the Messenger of Sahih Bukhari, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by him in whose hands my soul lies, none of you will truly believe until I am more beloved to him than his father and his son. And the version is Sahih Muslim says, none of you will truly believe until I am more beloved to him, his family, and his wealth, and all of people, all of mankind. So yes, we have to love the Messenger of Allah. And now the word love, it's the month of February. All we're going to see around in stores and so on is a whole bunch of red and pink and balloons and flowers and chocolate and so on. But what is love? The love is not as the people of the book have claimed, and the Christians may say, you know, you love Jesus and that's it, he's your savior and you guarantee Jannah. No. In Islam, you don't have that concept that if you just merely say with your mouth, I love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you've been given a certificate for Jannah. Here you go. Brother Muhammad, you said you love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here's your certificate for Jannah. Go do whatever you want. No. We don't have that concept in Islam. That love requires some action from us. That love requires us to try and be like him. Love isn't, you know, even we talk about loving the dunya, right? Our family and so on. You know, if you love your family, you know, love isn't just once a year, let's go buy a new car, let's go buy some chocolates and a teddy bear and some flowers and balloons. No. You know, when we're working for our family, that's love. You know, when we try to protect our family, we don't want any harm to get to them, protect them from cold, disease, and illness, etc. All that is form of love. What about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? is our love for the Messenger of Allah only to gather once a year in some masjid or some center or some place and just listen to some praises about him and that's it? And you know, and in many of those gatherings too, you see what the Prophet Muhammad forbade us from doing, those things are happening, right? That's not love. That's deception. That's playing games. That's, you know, fooling ourselves. And we're not fooling anybody but ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 9, meaning of the verses. They think to deceive Allah those who believe, but they only deceive themselves and perceive it not. So who are we deceiving? Who are we kidding?
Yep.
You know? And like I said, there is a balance. We can't reject the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We can't be like, oh no, you know, these people are crazy and gathering, claiming love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No, there is love for the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's part of Iman. We do have to love him. But we don't go the other extreme as well, where we make the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam equal to or higher than Allah because that becomes shirk. And that is what the people of the book did with their messenger, Isa, right? And there's warnings from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he said, you know, do not be like the people, people of the book, except the praising of their prophets and so on, that becomes shirk. He didn't say, go and start worshipping me. He didn't say that. He didn't order us to do that. What were we ordered to do as Muslims? To follow him, to follow his example, to be like him. So, there's a lot more to say, but we have shorter of time. قُلْ قَلْ يَهَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, and this is also backed by the Quran, said the Jews and the Christians took their rabbis and their monks to be their lords besides Allah, by obeying them when they made the haram into halal, the permissible into impermissible and vice versa. And they also took as their lord Messiah, the son of Mary or Maryam, while they, the Jews and the Christians, were commanded in the Torah and in the Gospel to worship none but one Ilah, one God. Praise and glory be to him, far above his heed, from having partners to be associated with him. When the Prophet mentioned this, you know, one of the Sahabas, he got up and he said, we didn't worship them, you know, because obviously, you know, we didn't worship them, the rabbis and the monks. But the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he clarified to them, he said, did they not order you to, you know, do something which is haram and make it lawful, and vice versa? And they said, yeah. He said, that's a form of worship. So, you know, that's something we need to be aware of, that we can't just, because there are people out there, there are even scholars out there that will quote even verses from the Quran and misinterpret them, verses that are talking about honoring and respecting the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and say, well, see right here, this ayah says, you know, in their interpretation, this ayah says, let's have a big birthday party for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's not what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, read the tafsir. So, you know, we can't be like the people of the book where they started following other people, other imams, other whoever, speakers, etc., and following that which was ordered wrong, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nisa that obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in the authority of Muslim. If you differ amongst one another, referring back to Allah, which is the Quran, which is our source, and the Messenger, which is the authentication of the Prophet, which we have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Ask the people of dhikr or remembrance if you do not know. And we don't have all the answers. You know? So we need to try to better ourselves now in this life, in this dunya, before it's too late, before, like that DME example I gave, that before our death comes upon us, or before we're facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, only to find out, oh my God, I wasted my life doing the wrong thing. I thought this was something good. it looked like something good. I thought I was getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was worshipping him. I was doing something which would even please the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he didn't order us to do so. So do we think we're better than him? Do we think we're better than Allah? Are we claiming that Allah's message is incomplete when Allah tells us, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَنْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Islam had already been perfected, right? And after the message was complete, the Messenger of Allah وسلم, soon after that, he left this world. After completing the message, he didn't leave it incomplete. And I'll leave us with a few final warnings or takeaways for today's khutbah. One, which is the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that there will be Adam in the Jannah, illa man aba. And thought, وَمَنْ أَبَى يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي فَدَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ said in an authentic hadith that every son of Adam will enter Jannah except those who refuse. And the Sahaba, they were amazed. Who would refuse to go to the paradise? So they asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who would refuse? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever obeys me enters Jannah. And whoever disobeys me, faqad aba, that he has refused the Jannah. So that's one takeaway for today, inshallah. And another is a very lengthy hadith about the Kawthar. How the Kawthar, which is on the flip side a more of a warning for us. The short version of it is, there's two narrations. The short version is reported by Abu Hurairah of Milano. He said, on the day of resurrection, a group of my companions will come to me, but they'll be driven away from the lake fount, the Hawdi Kawthar, the fount, and I will say, oh Lord, those are my companions. It will be said, you have no knowledge as to what they innovated after you left. They turned apostates and renegades. This is the version in Sahih Bukhari. The other long version talks about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, my followers, ummati, ummati. And the angels will tell the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you do not know what they innovated after you. So that's a very strict, a very severe warning for us that, you know, we need to do our best to do what the Messenger of Allah ﷺ told us. Not to go around doing things which we weren't ordered to do. Because at the end of the day, no matter who we try to fool, no matter who we're kidding, at the end of the day it will be thrown, you know, back at us. It will be rejected. And I guarantee you right now, we will not be able to argue in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about the Almighty Allah. We will not be able to tell Him, well, oh Allah, it seemed good. It seemed, no. Trust me, at that time, our heads will be down, our mouths will be sealed. So this is the time to realize that we need to do that which is ordered by Islam, that which is backed up in Islam by authentic proofs, and we need to do our best to stay away from that which was not ordered, which we were not commanded to do. And if you do not know, you need to ask somebody with knowledge. And ask somebody that can tell us based on Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِلَىٰ قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونُ لَهُمْ خِيَرًا مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Surah Ahzab 33, verse 36. Meaning of the ayah, it is not for a believing man or woman when Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decree a matter that they should have an option or an opinion in their decision. And whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed strayed in a plain error. These are the final takeaways for today's khutbah and warnings for us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to follow what we have said. And quickly for today's announcement, there's a very, very important announcement regarding the parking. If you park in the northeast parking lot here, where Pizza Hut is, the owner has warned us that they will take some action against the masjid. So please do not park in that parking lot from now on. And I've been meaning to talk about parking for a while too, because we should have better manners especially in terms of parking when we come for Jumu'ah. No matter where you are, we have to respect our neighbors. No matter who they are, Muslim or non-Muslim, you know, whether it's a school or a church or whatever it may be, we have to respect our neighbors. So, parking in a business without permission, you know, that's kind of falls under khiyana or mistrust. You know, if we didn't seek permission, we shouldn't go there. And if they tow our car, we can't blame them. So now they have warned that they're willing to take action against the masjid. So please, please keep in mind, do not park in that parking lot. If you did so today, try to leave as soon as possible. And in the future, please do not park in that parking lot. There's plenty of parking on the street, you know, all around us, there's plenty of parking. So please try to park. And try to be efficient in parking. Sometimes there's spots for two cars, and we park, you know, one car, and even there could be another car if you just pull up a little bit more, a few inches, right? So please try to consider, in that matter, consider our Muslim brothers as well that are coming. Second announcement is the 5th annual invited guest series will take place tomorrow, the 20th of May. Please try to support this event by visiting the fundraiser next door that's for Delicious Treats. There's also a fundraiser for the Somalian Family Relief and the Malawi School Desk Project, which will take place tomorrow. And there will be a viewing of, I can't even pronounce the first word, Unsung Heroes of Seoul, which is a documentary for the history of Philly Seoul. So please try to do your best to attend it. There's more information on the bulletin board regarding that. And always don't forget, the masjid is open for all five prayers. And please try to donate generously. And lastly, anything said in this khutbah, which is correct, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all is attributed back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any mistake that might have been made is due to my own shortcoming, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me and assist me to do better in the future. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة